pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I'd like to take a moment of silence to remember those who we have recently lost. You may have recently lost. Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Director Sasania.
Here.
Director Ozilski. Director Tornatsky.
Here.
Vice President Millage.
Here.
President Storm.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, we'll have the report out of closed session.
There was no reportable action in closed session this evening.
Thank you. And now we'll take public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I mentioned this the other night at your Parks and Recreation Committee meeting, and I thought I'd bring it up here. As most of you know, Morro Coast Audubon has closed Sweet Springs to the use of the property for dog walking. And in light of the fact that there are no dog parks and no dog park in the near term, I just thought perhaps your board might want to take a position on that, since you do have park and rec power. The other subject I wanted to bring up was something that's not on your agenda. It was on your agenda for a brief time last week, but the agenda was amended, and the item was to authorize a letter of request to County Board of Supervisors requesting changes to the county code, making members of the Board of Directors of the LOCSD the sitting members of LOCAC by virtue of their holding the office, and only if LAFCO approves the additional power required, and at a future date, no sooner than January 1, 2018. I was surprised that this was even under consideration at all. The report from the committee that suggested a planning commission power didn't, in my mind, make it clear that you would be the new LOCAC. And your vice president was at LOCAC just last Thursday and gave a presentation, and certainly, in my mind, did not make that clear to that advisory body that your district was going to make them moot. I'd like an explanation. I think the community would, and I look forward to the discussion in the future.
Thank you. Any public comment for items not on the agenda? Okay. Administrative and committee reports. Fire department report. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. President, Madam Vice President, Honorable Board members. My name is Steve Spinharney. I'm the Cal Fire County Fire Department Coastal Division Chief. On behalf of Chief Gilbert, it's an honor to present this staff report to you. Battalion Chief Greg Alex sends his apologies for not being here. He is on vacation with his family. So first, to go over some emergency activity. Station 15 ran 123 calls in June, with 16 of those being simultaneous calls. 86 of those were medical aids, with 42 requiring advanced life support provided by paramedics. Three of these incidents reported as traffic collisions, 7 incidents reported as fires, 21 as public service assists, and 9 as just general emergencies. Company 15 was also covered the station or respond to emergencies in the month of June a total of 7 times. Now for some administrative business. In June, we finalized the 2017-18 budget. A lot of hard work was put in by Renee, Ann, Harmony, past battalion chief Josh Taylor, and Greg Alex. And I would like to thank the board for approving a budget that will allow us to continue functioning at the professional standard you guys expect of us. Thank you very much. On June 1st, 2017, Reserve Firefighter Todd Takahashi resigned in good standing with the district for 5 years of service. And on June 6, 2017, Reserve Firefighter Carly Robson resigned in good standing with 11 months of service. Update on the fleet. Well, unfortunately, on June 28, 2017, while responding to a Code 3 medical aid call, Medic Rescue 15 was involved in a non-injury traffic collision. Repairs were made, and it went back into service yesterday. Like to note, the CHP report stated that our driver was not at fault. Medic Engine 15 is in service, but due for some warranty work this month. Medic Engine 215 is still in the shop awaiting its new transmission. We're still using Engine 212 to back that up. The new Medic Rescue 15 is in its final building phase. We should have a final inspection and delivery date soon. Again, I'd like to thank Captain Caldwell, Harmony, and a special thanks to Captain Robert Gorman of Station 64. Robert is one of the leads for our equipment and equipment spec committee, and he's been really helpful us working on Medic Rescue 15. Some fire prevention information. So from June 5th to June 8th, 2017, the Station 15 Reserve Firefighters inspected every lot in the district for violations to the fire code. 288 violations were found. Unfortunately, the initial software data that was obtained was unreadable, but we got an assist from the county GIS staff that was able to retrieve most of that data except for 25 properties, and they basically reinspected those properties in July. Some special events. On June 3rd, the station staff participated in the Wishing Well Summerfest event. On June 15th, the Station 15 apparatus engineer Teddy Borgia hosted a local youth who was interested in joining the fire service for a 24-hour ride-along. That went really well, and that young man had a great time. On June 21st and 22nd, the station staff again hosted 10 kids each day from YMCA for a tour of the firehouse. On June 27th, the South Bay staff visited the Book Buddies preschool and met with approximately 12 kids ages 2 to 4 years old. And finally, on June 30th, the staff again treat a family of 7 to a fire engine tour and a short presentation of PPE. That's the end of my report. Are there any questions?
Any questions from the board? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving right along, Sheriff Department report.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Commander Jim Vogt from Coast Station. During this last month, we've had 284 calls for service, which was actually down from 310 the month before. One of these things that we always look at are the suspicious vehicles, subjects, circumstances, criminal acts that we get a lot of calls on, and those were also down 43 from 52. Phone scams, we had 5. I always mention these because I think, you know, we can prevent a lot of unneeded thefts. Apple is a big phone scam right now. Your Apple Care has run out. Your iCloud needs some, you know, has been compromised, you know, whatever it is. But it seems like Apple, IRS has gone out with the taxes, I guess, so Apple's getting popular right now. Plus, a lot of people have Apple phones. Animal cruelty. We had a case of a horse. We got called about a horse that looked in bad shape, and actually, the horse was just old. The horse was actually in pretty good shape, but the horse was in its 30s, I think 35 or something, so you know how we get when we age, so he was okay. Dog in car, that turned out to be okay. A lot of people think that dogs in cars is automatically forbidden, and it is not. A dog in a hot car or a dog in distress, of course, it is. The fact that dog is in car, as long as the dog is in there for not a long period of time, as long as the temperature is okay, if the dog has water, sometimes food, it depends on the situation. But we go out there to look, and we always follow up on those, too, to make sure they're okay. And we had some dogs that were allegedly poisoned, and then the owner found a candy bar, an old candy bar in the yard and thought it was another attempt at these dogs again, and that turned out to be okay also. We had 11 thefts. Bicycles, the biggest one of all of those. Open garages. Most of these are opportunistic thefts when something is out there. In fact, I'll talk about that in just a minute. Disturbing the peace, we had 53. You figure out 284 calls, 53 of those were disturbing the peace. So people are getting a little edgy at times and give us a call. But we always encourage people to call. It's better for us that we go out there and keep the peace rather than allow neighbors or family members to get out of hand. On the 17th of July, 1700 block of 13th Street, we had 100 pink flamingos, not alive, plastic ones, stolen from the front yard. They put them up there for a neighborhood party, and the next morning they looked and they were all gone. The victim, however, was able to recover 50% of them, so 50 of them were recovered. 50 of them are still outstanding, and which is worth about $200, by the way. So if you see some pink flamingos, you know, contact us. On the 18th, and this is what I was talking about, thefts, opportunistic thefts. This is on the 1700 block of 12th Street. A gentleman had his garage door open because he was going in and out of his garage. He has a very nice bicycle worth $1,500 that was in the garage. When he made one of his trips into the kitchen, he looked out the window and saw his bicycle ridden by the thief going out of his driveway. He gave pursuit but couldn't catch up to him. He called us. Luckily, we have a couple known bicycle thieves around here, and the next day we were able to follow up to their house and locate the bike. We got an admission. He said it wasn't in the garage. It was leaning outside of the garage, and that's why he took it. So, but anyway, at least we got our suspect on this case. On the 18th, on the 1500 block of 11th Street, a 3- and 5-year-old are walking down the street, and they didn't belong there, and a good Samaritan asked them what your names are. They didn't know their names. What's your phone number? We don't know that either. I think the 5-year-old was doing all the talking. Luckily, they called us. We got there, and just so happened, the mother just came driving by. They were from a block away, and apparently they're brand new to the neighborhood. And while the mother was doing the laundry, they decided to leave because they wanted to go back to Grandma's house. They didn't know where Grandma lived, but, you know, they made a valiant attempt, so they were returned to their mother. But it's nice that people are calling and getting involved when they see something like that. On the 25th of July, at Pasadena Drive in Santa Isabel, a lady was walking her dog on a leash. Her dog's a little bit aggressive. She asked she saw a couple with two dogs that weren't on leash. She said, "Could you put your dogs on leash, please?" They only had one leash for two dogs, so they put one dog on the leash. The other dog came over to visit the lady's dog that was on a leash. A verbal altercation occurred between the dogs, and a subsequent verbal altercation occurred between the dog owners. A male was involved in it, was yelling at the lady. Another male, Good Samaritan, was walking by, got in between the lady and the male with the unleashed dog, and eventually an altercation took place, and we got called, and a private person's arrest was made. The only reason I bring up this thing is because we seem to have a lot of leash situations. The person was cited for the dog not being on a leash, and a lot of dogs, I'm not blaming the dogs, dogs are dogs, but we do have a lot of owners that, you know, that we find altercations that occur. This isn't the first one that's occurred in this area regarding the lease situation. It usually starts, people start arguing each other, they get in each other's face, and then things just are aggravated from that. But other than that, it's pretty pretty slow month in Los Osos from a law enforcement standpoint. So.
Great.
Any questions at all?
No, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Utilities Department report.
Thank you. The total production for the month of June 2017 was approximately 17.25 million gallons. This equates to an average daily demand of 575,243 gallons. This represents an increase in production from last year approximately by 10.10%. Residential usage per capita per day for the month of June is is equivalent to 77.5 gallons per person per day. Production runtime hours, the total, the following breakdown for the production well site runtime on the pump monitors for the month of June 2017 was a total of 17.25. Water billing information, 43% of the service area received bills for approximately 12.5 million gallons consumption for the period of May 10th through July 13th. This generated approximately $168,526 in revenue. During the month of June, the crew provided weekly water sampling, well site rounds, read the meters, marked underground utilities, performed equipment maintenance, and submitted the monthly report to the state. In addition to these duties, the crew performed maintenance to the Bay Ridge Drainage Basin. They repaired a water service line at 1503 16th Street, continued the valve exercise program, performed hydrant, sample point, and meter box maintenance, repaired a water main break on the 1700 block of 15th Street, and performed detailed maintenance on the backhoe and the vacuum trailer. Rainfall totals are below. I don't know if anybody has any questions for utilities.
No. Nope. General manager's report.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I do. I do have one question.
My apologies.
Okay.
The okay. Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro, until these documents are finalized and our crew continues to... When are we going to finalize that...
Well, the short answer would be, I don't know. The longer answer is, the most recent version has been off my desk and on the desk of County Council for a couple of weeks now.
How many times have you returned service? I mean, going back over the net.
A lot. Okay. And then I'll have to admit that one time it lingered a little longer on my desk than it should have. It's not all just county council. I don't want to act like that. I do think we're at the stage where county council is satisfied with language. They're going to have their process of getting that approved by the Board of Supervisors. And as I understand what's going on now with staff, because I don't have to be part of that discussion,
right,
is basically there's work the county needs to be doing on their end of some sewer things that will impact our drainage system. And they're coordinating so that to the extent they cause damage, they know how we want it fixed and things like that. So part of that was also referring to whether or not we'd have some formal agreement about how the county would address that or not. I'm still going to be working with county council on that. My personal opinion is, I don't know that you need to have 14 pages of lawyer gobbledygook on that last issue, but we'll see what the county wants.
Two good field crews working it out.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for the general manager or utilities? Sorry, for utilities. Okay, then general manager.
Okay. Right. With the absence of the utility supervisor, all staff has been assisting with this position's workload, and interviews were conducted in July. Staff continues to work with the IRS and now Social Security on multiple payroll issues from 2015, and these items are simple fixes. It's just time-consuming. We have to look for paperwork in boxes that are put away. Legal counsel and the general manager have been working with SLOCIA on the district's union contract with staff. AGP Video has updated the streaming computer, which will now allow more public devices to access Channel 20, and this was the cost to the district of $1,285. S&P Global Rating Services has adjusted their rating on MBIA Inc., the insurer of the Wastewater Assessment District 1 limited obligation bonds, on June 26th of 2017. We're required to disclose the attached event notice via the EMMA website, which NBS will do for us. Attached to the general manager's report is the material event notice that NBS will post. There is no direct implication to the district's rating. It is a good practice to just advise the public in changes to the district's bond insurer. So again, this doesn't affect us in any way. They just have to let us know that MBIA's rating went down. Bay Ridge Vista de Oro, Rob Miller and Frank Asuncion, our water crew chief, and myself met with the county to plan the transfer of the Bay Ridge Estates and Vista de Oro collection systems to the county and to review some of the details for the future operation and maintenance. Also discussed was the future repairs of Phase 2 to Bay Ridge Estate System. This will involve coordination with the district engineer and the district operators. We reviewed the collection system transfer agreement process and timing so that we can coordinate with both legal counsels and prepare each of our boards for our board's approval. Parks and Rec staff has received the lease for the dog park from the county. District Council and the General Manager has reviewed the lease and have minor suggestions and changes. The lease was presented to the Parks and Rec Committee for their suggestions and or changes, and staff will bring the lease to the board for approval and or changes at the September 7th meeting. Accounting, the district bookkeeper, Robert Stilts, and myself have been working on the MIP accounting system. We received training from MIP Abella on the budget and reporting portions of the system. While training, it was discovered that the system had not been updated in a few years, so we made sure to make those updates. All accounting is now being done through the MIP system. There are some adjustments that still need to be made before we can give the final numbers for the 2016-2017 fiscal year. All staff that uses MIP will be trained and cross-trained on how to use the updated system and will get a refresher course on proper AP and AR inputting. We are currently working on the reserve accounts for accuracy and will incorporate those accounts as part of the monthly reporting. Staff is working with the auditor on a preliminary field test, which we did on Monday and Tuesday of this week. With the past site accounting discovered, we would like to make sure that all the items have been properly entered before the audit begins, which we're planning on about October. So if anybody has any questions.
Any questions for the general manager? Okay. LOCAC report.
Good evening. I'm Julia Oberhoff, chair of Los Osos Community Advisory Council. Last Thursday, July 27th, LOCAC held its regular monthly meeting, and it was a lengthy meeting with attendance from the community. Items of particular interest that we discussed were an announcement from the Morro Coast Audubon Society that come the 1st of September, their policies would change and would no longer allow dogs in the park. This announcement brought mixed reviews from the community, and we encouraged the residents to voice their concerns or support directly to the MCAS. An item on our consent agenda was pulled and later discussed, which was the application for a vacation rental on Rodman Drive. We listened to the applicant and property management company present the project and their way in which they were planning to manage the property, and there were a number of residents who voiced their concern. The result of this discussion was to continue the item to next month's meeting in order for us to have sufficient time to hear and discuss it. Related but separate, our land use committee will be meeting on the 10th and is going to discuss our vacation rental ordinance in greater length and see if there's possibly an opportunity to amend that ordinance with the community plan update, which is forthcoming. Lastly, as you know, Vice President Vicki Millage gave a presentation on the potential activation of available latent powers for the CSD with regard to land use. Thank you, Vicki, for coming and giving that presentation. After hearing her presentation and the discussion, there was definitely concern, well, questions as to first and foremost whether or not your board as a whole was in agreement as to the next steps forward. So before we entertain or discuss how to meet and further the conversation, I think we're interested in having you guys in agreement as to how to move forward. Other than that, we close the meeting and we'll be meeting next month. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any?
This is probably a good time for me to address Thursday's meeting. I went to the LOCAC meeting, and I don't know if it was presentation or my own focus on the long-term picture, but I was more focused on the assumption of the Planning Commission duties, which are at the tail end of this process, apparently. And President Storm, you did remind me of just what transpired at our last meeting, the way we talked. We did agree that we would set up an ad hoc committee to explore this with LOCAC. And I kind of lost sight of the fact that this was step one, maybe, of that long-term process. And I still have grave concerns about the long-term process and the viability of the county wanting to give up staff for anyone else's decisions other than their planning commission. But that's a separate issue, apparently, from the merger of LOCAC and the CSD, or however you want to term that. So I guess I would like to reiterate that I am in favor of exploring that possibility. And probably the first step in that direction would be to have two ad hoc committees from those groups get together. I do think that the pulled agenda item was premature, because that addresses the longer-term thing, it seems to me. We should have LOCAC and ourselves maybe in agreement before we entertain going to the county and taking the next step in that discussion.
And that's why it was pulled, and, well, it was pulled before, and things get lost in the shuffle. And that was, for those unfamiliar with our agenda process, it begins almost as soon as this meeting ends. And so we try to anticipate what will be on the next agenda. And so that didn't quite make it through. And just to clarify, after re-listening to the audio of that meeting, what I believe we agreed to was to have that ad hoc committee continue and to discuss with the relevant players the option of the advisory council with a vague long-term horizon of possibly considering the planning commission thing, and not in any kind of concrete way, because that seems, like you said, to involve a lot of moving parts that we're not ready for, and that needed the capacity for that needs to be demonstrated for a long time from now. So what if you also, for those who may not have been familiar, remember back to April, and I certainly didn't, so I had to go back and make sure that I wasn't just remembering things the way that I wanted to. Supervisor Gibson was here at that meeting urging us on the water basin thing, but he also spoke up on that. And then when I had one of my meetings with him, his suggestion was to meet with LOCAC. So we were following out the procedure that I think we all wanted to do, and I'm hoping that we can reignite that process one way or the other. But I'm gonna meet with Supervisor Gibson and see what he thinks about all of this now. And I also want to apologize to LOCAC for the delay in getting out there. We discussed that in April at this meeting, and it was always something for me. And finally, I just asked Vicki if she could just go. I was on state active duty last week at Camp Roberts, and my brain was fried by 7 p.m. And so when I got those orders, I thought, oh man, it extends to the day of the LOCAC meeting, because I thought finally I didn't have a conflict. So I want to apologize for that. And I think if I had been more timely on that, then all of this would have been a lot fresh in everybody's memory. So I'll own that one.
I have one question and then one comment. Was that the same slideshow that was presented here to our board?
Yes.
It seemed like, okay, there were.
So the problem
I didn't remember,
and that's my fault too. The problem with that slideshow is that what we decided was to take a slightly different tack at the end, and not slightly different, take an entirely different tack at the end with respect to which power we were considering activating.
Okay.
And so I kind of left Vicki out to hang out to dry on that by not being able to be there, and that's my fault too. So I apologize for that, and we had been planning to work further on that. So I will hopefully get together and figure out what we need to do to clarify the process. It's a weird process. It's a weird concept, and that's really goes back to what I presented in that presentation, which was this is kind of the narrow Rube Goldberg type option that's left to us. So anyway. Vicki? Vice President Millage?
There was also something that I would like to see clarified. There was a strong suggestion that I was not empowered to make the presentation at LOCAC, and that's wrong. And in fact, it can be found on the video of the April meeting that, in fact, we were empowered to make the presentation to LOCAC.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. Baywood Chamber of Commerce?
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Last time I talked about the ice cream social that we're going to have. We're going to have a joint mixer with the Rotary, and that's going to be on Wednesday, August 23rd at 5:30, right over in the chamber backyard there. It's going to be Build Your Own Sunday, crazy Hawaiian shirt contest, raffle prizes, beer and wine, and a preview of Grandparents' Day activities. So all that, it's with the Rotary, and it's Wednesday, August 23rd, 5:30. Our September mixer, by the way, will be at the Los Osos Valley Memorial Park, September 13. The Chamber's newest member is Golf Land Warehouse, located in San Luis Obispo, 3195 Higuera, across from the DMV. They retail golf apparel and equipment, golf club fitting training, golf simulator, and other athletic apparel and shoes for men, women, and children. They've been in the business since 2007 and hope to strengthen their community relationship and connections as they grow their retail and online business. We're coming close to the Tuscany trip, Experience Tuscany, this October 24th. Chamber's offering a fully escorted tour of the awe-inspiring region of Tuscany. It's home to some of the most famous tourist attractions in all of Italy. For more information, visit Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber.org or call the Chamber. The 39th Annual Oktoberfest and Car Show, 12th Annual Car Show, will be held on 2nd Street. October 29th, it's always the last Sunday in October. Admission's free. Enjoy the day with live music, entertainment, beer garden, food, arts and crafts, and a 4-mile run hosted by Morro Bay High School athletic boosters. So pet costume contest, activities for kids and more, and our headliner, second year in a row, Burning James and the Funky Flames. Lastly, I'd like to pass on information that's not really chamber. The Los Osos Baywood Park Community Dinners. Trinity United Methodist Church and Los Osos Cares have partnered to provide dinner to the Los Osos community on the first and third Mondays of each month. The dinners are served between 5 and 6:30 and in the Fellowship Hall of Trinity United Methodist Church, corner of Los Osos Valley Road and Pine. The dinners are free to all. It doesn't matter what your income level or who you are. If you know somebody in the neighborhood who maybe has a hard time getting out of the house because they're in a walker or wheelchair, this is great because you can get them there, get them a really nice meal, and the food is really, really good. And they can talk to maybe some old friends that they see. So think about, you know, where you live and maybe somebody in the neighborhood that you could bring them up. It's the first and third Mondays of each month. At present, the Los Osos Rotary Maherlika Christian Fellowship, I'm sorry about that, Los Osos 4-H, St. Benedict's Episcopal Church have agreed to provide one dinner every other month. They're seeking other churches and service organizations who can commit to providing a dinner once every 2 months with the hope that we'll be able to expand and provide dinners every Monday. So right now it's just twice a month. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Director Tronotsky, Parks and Rec Advisory Committee.
Okay. A best policy and practice review was conducted, which involved me and all the five committee members. And this is the way we did it. A national literature review was conducted, which we served to identify 47 candidate best practices of dog parks all over the United States, which were then basically crafted into a survey instrument. And the committee members plus myself were rated each of these 47 candidate best practices on a 6-point scale. 1 equals best, 6 equals worst. Of the 47 candidate practices, 10 were highly rated and 7 just a notch below. So members of the committee, we met a couple days ago, we're going to be working to finalize the ratings, possibly combining practices. In addition to the quantitative ratings, committee members were asked to provide personal comments as well, write them out. Many of these were very useful, and they were all very colorful. So we got a head start on this.
Very good. Director's announcement of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, trainings, programs, conferences, and seminars.
It's a quiet month.
Yep, summertime. Okay, there's no written previous questions. So, with that, we'll go to public comment for items on the administrative and committee report and the consent agenda. Unless there's anything to be pulled. Okay.
Julie Tacker again. Let me suggest with the LOCAC and CSD matter with the Planning Commission idea that you actually have a joint meeting. You had three directors there last Thursday, and all three participated. Oops. So that wouldn't happen if you had a joint meeting. Then all 15 or however many of you are there could participate, as well as the public. The Parks and Rec Committee also looked over, Renee mentioned it, Lou did not, looked over the draft lease agreement. At first I was kind of surprised to see that because it was a closed session matter, but I guess since no cash is exchanging hands, that makes it available to the public. The production numbers. I'm concerned with the increase over last year. I am concerned that the mantra out of this board and many boards before yours was conservation, conservation, conservation. And that seems to have gone by the wayside. Whatever the reasons are, we had a good result with the seawater intrusion data. Let's not mess that up. And as I've said from this podium for a decade or more, I believe we need to get off the Palisades well. That is the most vulnerable well. That is something you can do. If you're going to walk the walk, talk the talk, walk the walk. Stop pumping from that well. The other thing is the conservation, the message. The sign out on the Peterson fence has been hanging askew for months. The reminder is all folded up and nobody can read it anymore. The Facebook page from this district has 18 likes. There's not a lot of material being loaded on it for people to share and communicate with their neighbors. The last thing I'd like to speak to is your financial report. Your current total assets are $6,554,263.43. Your total equity $6,958,310.58. There's about a $600,000 difference. I need that explained. I need that explained. How could you have assets and not the same amount in equity?
Thank you.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I do want to take the opportunity to clarify that there's no oops involved in having three members of this board attend and open a noticed meeting of LOCAC. LOCAC meets the definition of a legislative body under the Brown Act. It's a legislative body created by the Board of Supervisors. As such, all five of you can attend any properly noticed meeting of another legislative body. You can't deliberate amongst yourselves on items of jurisdiction of the Community Services District while attending those meetings, but you all three can attend the meetings, and all five can attend the meetings, and you can participate in conversation at those meetings. A lot of times we don't recommend it, and we certainly suggest that you don't sit next to each other, but technically it's not illegal to all sit next to each other. It's just a perception problem, but I want to make sure that you understand that that three members being at the LOCAC meeting, it's perfectly legal.
Thanks. Thank you for that. We'll endeavor to err on the side of caution in the future. Thank you.
Okay.
Steve Best. I found it to be, I went to the meeting on Monday. I went there with very excited and interested in finding out what the details were on the lease, and found out the meeting wasn't being run by the chairman of the, it was run by the general manager, to the point where we didn't I think that I go there thinking that the committee meetings are there for the people to be able to participate in this process. You know, we're here at this meeting, and it's very stifled. It's a one-way conversation. We have 3 minutes to talk about things, but it's just, we go to the committee meetings to think that we can participate in what's going on, so that the chairman of the committee can go back to the board here and then share what they took from this committee, that the people can have some input and have some dialogue. But that wasn't the case at all. It's just another one of the board meetings. It's stifled and strangled. There's no conversation. That we don't learn anything from these meetings, like we don't learn much from these meetings here. It's very disappointing. You guys just flip through the pages like you had this secret dialogue going on, what the lease was all about, and we didn't have a chance to have any input, any say what was going on, and it was just, I'm sorry. It was really disappointing that we came back for that meeting. The best practices, it would be nice to have some conversation about that and some dialogue, but We're left to 3 minutes of conversation at these at a committee meeting where we should have an opportunity to have some back and forth. It doesn't work that way. It's disappointing. I was rather appalled by Vicky's comments on the LOCAC meeting. I found that to be disturbing, that she took it upon herself to go there without the approval of the board to represent the board at the at LOCAC. I think that was rather disturbing. And then you guys just sweep it under the rug like nothing ever happened. Where that was just, I thought that was a violation of her responsibilities as a board member to take to first seek the authorization to speak to another body as a member of the board, and not have that, and go out and represent the CSD to LOCAC, and then but then come back here and then find out that everything's fine. It's not something's not right. We're not being represented by you folks up there.
Thank you.
It's not fair.
Just to clarify, we already reestablished, for those of you watching in the audience, that at the April meeting at about 1:39 of the audio recording of the meeting, by a unanimous vote, this board
right.
Authorized the ad hoc committee. Mr. Best, you're out of order. You're out of order.
Steve, I was the one that was wrong at that meeting. Vicki had the authorization from our board president to go to the LOCAC meeting.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, I'm going to address that in a minute, my opinion of it. The financials, I hope we're getting more than this in the future, because if this is all the public is going to see, this balance sheet is deceiving. In a number of ways, it actually shines a better light on a couple. I'm not touching anything. A couple items.
Might be lightning.
I think that's a good way to go.
No, short, quick, and fast.
My two concerns are, I think cash in bank is a deceptive number on actually what's available for the district on a liquid basis. Anyway, this isn't a true representation of where we are. The LOCAC issue, it's a shame, John, that you weren't able to be there, because I'm going to be blunt. The presentation was very confusing. It wasn't coherent like yours was from point to point. That time I did touch it. I think the audience was left confused with what the ask actually was from Vicki, and that was my issue. I didn't have a problem that she came and did the presentation, but her ask of LOCAC at the end, I don't know that that was necessarily what your board had directed the committee to do. And then to see this agenda item that was pulled to basically install yourselves as the new LOCAC and eliminate the current LOCAC. That's not what came out of that presentation, and that wasn't the final ask. It was to start the deliberations about eventually getting to this other process. Please, in the future, since you were the one that started this whole process, be at any of those future meetings when talking to the public. I think you got a long way to go, and I personally think you need supervisor's blessing and LAFCO's blessing before you waste time going to LOCAC and spending more of the community's time. But and then the last item is, we had a long budget process. Many changes, errors, issues that were going to be addressed in the future for all of the committees. And we get past June 30th, and there's no committee meetings other than Parks and Rec. I hope that changes quick, because the list of things that you wanted done aren't getting done.
Thank you. And I it's my fault that I wasn't there. I fully own that. I just would clarify, we do have Supervisor Gibson's blessing. He's just one supervisor. We don't have any formal action from the county. At the April meeting, I agreed with what Mr. Margetson just said, which was, I don't know who we're talking to without talking to LAFCO, but the direction from the board at that time was to go through the county first. And the original motion was to go to LAFCO, and everybody decided that the thing to do instead was to go through the county. So that's what we did. And in that presentation in April, there was a document talking about the model that this might follow, which was the Diablo Community Services District in Contra Costa County. And that's explicitly been the model that we've been working with since then, and I apologize if that hasn't been clear enough, but the statement that we have a lot of work to do is an understatement. We're still in the exploration phase. That's why that agenda item was pulled. But again, you have to notice these things, and the staff has to have time to prepare these things. So if there's a chance it's going to happen, we want to make sure that it's ready to go. We also thought there might be a chance that the park lease would be ready to go. We're not quite ready to go with that. So that's just part of the imperfect process. And again, my apologies for not being able to be there. The Army sending some people to Afghanistan, I could go on about that. They needed some wills written, so I was happy to do that. Anyway, that will close public comment. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion on the consent agenda and committee reports.
I move that we accept the consent agenda items.
And approve the committee.
I'm sorry, and approve the committee reports as well.
Okay. Second. Any further discussion? Are there any resolutions?
Yes.
Okay, roll call, please.
Vice President Milledge?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes, with the exception of D under the consent agenda.
And President Storm?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, there were no pulled items. Does anyone have any suggestions for future agenda items? Not that this is the only time to let me know, and let me know at any time.
Maybe we need a more robust discussion about just how to proceed with this unification process, because we're obviously a public and board in conflict about just how to proceed, some directly to the county and LAFCO. Why waste LOCAC's time? I kind of feel like we shouldn't go to those people without LOCAC with us. So maybe that's where that ad hoc committees come together. And
I think we'll have a conversation about that in the near future, maybe not at the next meeting, though.
Okay.
Okay. Director Tornatsky?
Yeah. Speaking about the Parks and Rec situation. Speaking about the Parks and Rec situation, Renee has been working like mad trying to engage with a long process that was being led mostly by the county with comments by her, and now it got to a point where it's there. It's very difficult to sort of feed that back when it's in some place that's not close. I do believe we've gone many, many miles in that area, and I think we went many, many miles in the best practices for what we're going to try to do. And we're going to move this whole thing. I would love to have more detail about what we're going to be here now and what it's going to look like and when this is going to happen, if we can. And we've talked about this back and forth. So I'd love to tell you more, but sometimes you can't.
It'll move at a snail's pace.
And can anybody top that?
No.
No? Okay. Meeting adjourned, and Marshall's not here, and we're done before 8? He's going to be sad. Thank you, everybody.